A dozen.
You're listening to This Week in Radio News. Radio news about radio waves, radio art, and more. I'm Tom Rowe, your host, and we'll travel across the ether to hear what's going on in radio news. Two radio legends announced their broadcast ends this week. New York City area legend Vin Scalza announced his retirement March 28th. Scalza was a freeform FM radio pioneer since 1967, lately hosting Idiot's Delight on WFUV in New York City. Scalza began at WFMU in November 1967 and worked at WBAI, WABC-FM, WLIR-FM, WNEW-FM, WXRK-FM, and moved to WFUV in 2001. He also hosted a show on Sirius XM's The Loft satellite channel. Quote, "The kind of programming autonomy I've enjoyed on both commercial and public radio over all these years is unique," unquote, Scalza said in a statement. Quote, "I'm grateful to all the stations I've worked on for the privilege of being allowed to wander through the airwaves wherever my interest has taken me. I am grateful to my listeners for their support and their indulgence as we shared this journey together," unquote. Ben Cesario in the New York Times wrote that, quote, "Mr. Scalza had his playlist meander in sometimes whimsical fashion, mixing underground rock, folksy singer-songwriters, even show tunes. Between songs, he spoke passionately and at great length about the music he loved," unquote. Scalza is mentioned in the 1981 Ramones song, "It's Not My Place in the 9-to-5 World." He'll host his final shows on the radio May 2nd from 8 to 10 p.m. on WFUV and April 30th on satellite radio. Also on March 28th, Deutschwelle transmitted its final broadcast from Kigali, Rwanda relay station on 17,800 kilohertz. The SWLing blog reports. Deutschwelle is Germany's international broadcaster. Similar to the BBC World Service, France 24, Voice of America, Radio Canada International, Radio Free Europe, and Radio France International. Lately, more and more of these services are cutting back their international broadcasts. Fortunately, a 2012 report in the Communication for Development Journal found, quote, "In 11 countries surveyed across Africa, local commercial radio grew by an average of 360% between 2000 and 2006, whereas community radio grew by a striking 1,386% on average over the same period," unquote. Randy J. Stein in Radio World noted last week that two TV antennas were installed atop One World Trade Center in New York City, with test broadcasts now for the UHF and VHF trial arrays. The Durst Organization, owners of the new tallest building in New York City, will test transmissions on Channel 12 for VHF and Channel 32 for UHF. Many of the antenna for radio and television stations were on top of the former World Trade Center towers before the September 11, 2001 attacks brought down the towers. Since then, many have moved to the Empire State Building at 1,254 feet with a 200-foot steel tower on top. The new skyscraper stands at 1,776 feet and will generate larger signal patterns with the additional height. The Associated Press reports that another tower in Crimea is coming down as Russian officials turned off Crimea's independent television station ATR March 31st by repeatedly refusing to give it a broadcast license. ATR was dedicated to the Crimean Tatars, a native ethnic group of about 300,000 that was deported from the region by the Soviet authorities in 1944 and a lone voice against the Russians after they took over the area from Ukraine last year. Leonard Ismailov, ATR's founder, said at a news conference March 31st that four of its filings have been rejected on technicalities. Quote, "They don't give us a license because not a single official can guarantee that at some point we won't go on the air calling on people to do something," unquote, Ismailov said. Crimea's new leader, Sergei Askalov, said last month that ATR has filed the documents, quote, "with errors on purpose in order to flare up a conflict involving the TV station," unquote. Finally, another station will never get to hang a tower, even after the WKMJ Radio Live The People station filed to get a new low-power FM license through the Federal Communications Commission. Paul Rimsmondale at Radio Survivor reports that Curvis and Joseph from the Pinellas Park, Florida group applying for the station was arrested for unlicensed broadcasting. Florida, New Jersey, and New York have unconstitutional state laws against unlicensed broadcasting, even though the states have no authority to regulate the public airwaves. And the FCC has a rule against awarding LPFM licenses to former pirate radio enthusiasts. So because Johnson couldn't wait for the FCC's application process to play out, he won't be broadcasting anymore, at least not legally.
Be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on the Fort from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still lights of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry Hahn, woman liberationist, and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Keyes, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
The revolution may be televised after all, just not in the way Gil Scott-Heron considered in 1970. Instead, everyone will be transmitting from their personal hand-sized computer. Last week, Periscope joined Meerkat in the race to establish a generic platform for live streaming video through Twitter accounts. Both are quick, easy-to-use apps that allow anyone with a cell phone to turn it on during their local town council meetings or school board meetings, potentially radicalizing small-town politics. Of course, it will mostly be used at concerts and by tourists walking around exotic locales. But in the past week, the number and quality of technological breakthroughs that could be used for good by all wired citizens soon was breathtaking. Micron and Intel announced new 3D NAND technology, stacking layers of flash cells vertically to increase density. Now, quote, 2.5-inch SSDs could come in 10 terabyte capacities compared to the 1 terabyte drives that laptops max out at today, unquote, according to Wired magazine. So computers and tablets and phones are about to hold many more apps and songs and videos and are also about to work faster as 5G standards get adopted. The Economist says the new 5G, quote, networks will need to have a latency response time of about 1 millisecond. The speed at which two devices can begin to communicate with one another over today's 4G networks is about 50 milliseconds and around 500 milliseconds for the still widely used 3G services, unquote. Some of the shiny new rollouts can be scary, too. Slate reported last week about string rays, devices which pretend to be cell towers so mobile devices will be tricked into connecting to them and revealing their data, and manufactured by the Florida-based Harris Corporation. There's also a cheaper version called a Kingfish, and both can skim call and messaging logs, geolocation data, and handset information. Some of the new innovations, though, are meant for good. The Freedom of the Press Foundation released a new version of SecureDrop last week, their open-source whistleblower system for media organizations to communicate with anonymous sources and receive documents from whistleblowers. The Toronto Globe and Mail and Gawker Media are among the early adopters for SecureDrop. Others harness the new breakthroughs for their own purposes. On March 30th, Jay-Z launched a streaming music service called Tidal with Beyoncé, Daft Punk, Kanye West, Arcade Fire, and Rihanna as co-owners contributing exclusive content. Tidal reportedly has higher artist royalties than Spotify and definitely costs more, with subscriptions at $20 for a high-definition streaming and $10 for regular quality with no free ad-supported option. The higher version has sound quality said to be similar to Neil Young's Pono app.
I want to be the machine in your hands and go wherever you go. Your every touch would be my command and I wouldn't be so slow. We'd be together in Wonderland and I'd light you with my glow. I want to be the machine in your hands and go wherever you go. I don't know why I love you. You're not really more a gadget with meat stuck to it. I see less and less of you as you worsen and worsen. I think you're disappearing through it. No doubt you're just ahead of the curve. I only wish that I had the nerve to say I want to be the machine in your hand and go wherever you go. Your every touch would be my
talk turns to radio hoaxes. Generally, the conversation begins with Orson Welles and the Mercury Players' 1938 on-air dramatization of H.G. Wells' novel, The War of the World.
Columbia Broadcasting System and its affiliated stations present Orson Welles and the Mercury Theater on the air in The War of the World by H.G. Wells.
Americans running screaming into the streets, reportedly, at the idea that Martians were invading, got lots of congressmen mad at the time, David Oxenford reports at the Broadcast Law blog, but didn't change anything. Quote, essentially, through some well-publicized apologies by Wells and others involved in the program.
You must realize that when I left the broadcast last night, I went into a dress rehearsal for a play that's opening in 2 days, and I've had almost no sleep, and I know less about this than you do. I haven't read the papers.
Except of course, the first thing you had is something was wrong.
and a promise by the network to take steps to prevent it from happening again, the FCC closed its investigation and no law was passed by Congress, unquote, Oxenford wrote. 50 years later, in the early 1990s, several on-air April Fool's Day incidents did cause the Federal Communications Commission to update their rules, Oxenford reports. Announcers at one station claimed someone had taken them hostage, and another station pretended that a local trash dump had exploded like a volcano, sending burning trash airborne. Both times, first responders were called to non-existent emergencies, risking lives. So the FCC adopted Section 73.1217 of the Commission's rules, preventing stations from discussing, quote, a crime or catastrophe, unquote, on the air if the broadcaster, one, knows the information to be false, two, it is reasonably foreseeable that the broadcast of the material will cause substantial public harm, and three, public harm is in fact caused. The FCC defines public harm as, quote, direct and actual damage to property or to the health or safety of the general public or diversion of law enforcement or any other public health and safety authorities from their duties, unquote. News leaked out recently about the Federal Communications Commission's plan to cut enforcement field offices across the country. Two-thirds of the FCC's 24 field offices would be closed under the budget proposal, with total enforcement staffing cut in half. Instead, the FCC would establish a, quote, tiger team, unquote, of enforcers, who might not be that familiar with the area's airwaves, but would be able to use pre-positioned equipment to fly into remote locations. Last week, at the U.S. House Financial Services Subcommittee budget hearing for the FCC, Chairman Wheeler fielded a question about the new leaner enforcement strategy from Representative Jamie Herrera Butler, Republican from Washington State, who specifically asked about the lack of any field office in the Pacific Northwest under the proposal.
Question for Chairman Wheeler. You talked about your reducing the number of field director positions from 21 to 5 and the number of field offices from 24 to 8. I'm very concerned, living on the West Coast, because it said you're going to have the Tiger Team in Maryland, which they can get on a plane, but I don't know if you've ever had to catch a plane last minute or in inclement weather here, you're lucky if you get out and get to the West Coast, which is on a completely different time schedule. And as you can imagine, that's a major concern for me. I understand the field office has played a significant role when we're talking about FAA administration experiencing interference when it comes to our Doppler weather systems. How will the commission continue to perform these important functions with this new plan, particularly in the Pacific Northwest, where now we're going to have zero offices?
Great. Thank you very much, Congresswoman. It's an excellent question. As you know, we have a field office in Seattle today, staffed by one person. That person costs $190,000 a year to maintain there and has the second fewest cases of any in the country, any field office in the country.
How many?
So you've got to ask, it's the second fewest.
No, how many requests?
One RF case per week. We have one person.
So about 52 cases in a year, and they serve all of Washington or the whole Pacific Northwest?
The Pacific Northwest.
Okay.
And but as I say, it's the second fewest in of any of the. So the question is, if we pre-position equipment there, and we can fly people in, what we're trying to do is to say, how do we evolve? Because 20 years ago, when this plan was put together, what the offices did was they went out and they inspected broadcast records. Well, those are online now, so you don't have to do it. They went out and they made sure that the lights were on in antennas. Well, there's now automated monitoring of that. And from those old-style kinds of activities, the new responsibility has increasingly become spectrum. And how do you deal with interference issues?
So those cases you're talking about, they're primarily spectrum cases?
Spectrum cases. And those can get dealt with on a... There is a concern, you go in and you deal with it, and then you move on to the next concern. Because they're not all in Seattle, as you know, they're all over the place. And so today we're flying people or driving people to deal with those cases. And we can do it from California, you know, as efficiently as we can, more efficiently than we can from the 20... for other 24 offices.
Previously, we heard from Gil Scott-Heron and his 1970s song, The Revolution Will Not Be Televised, and the Magnetic Fields 2012 song, The Machine in Your Hand. Next, we're going to hear a radio improvisation from Squeddy, Artur Maturo Vidal on alto sax, objects and radio, Maria Papadomoulaki on transmitters and electronics, Igora Sakalaria on electric guitar. This is Squeddy, an improvisation with radio on This Week in Radio News. The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.